Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
And we'll discuss GEOGO in just a second, because MEPs in the European Parliament today voted to pass vital concessions on trade linked to the Windsor framework. Changes in EU rules have been approved relating to trade tariffs and medicines and horticulture goods. The lead negotiator on this issue was Irish MEP Sean Kelly, who's a former GAA president and who's been listening keenly, I'm sure, to what the Taoiseach was saying. Sean Kelly, fáil truth chuig an glór. I'll ask you about the GEOGO issue in just a second, but first, the rules that were passed in Parliament, in the European Parliament today in Strasbourg. How significant was the vote today, and how does it affect the implementation of the Windsor framework?
Yeah, the vote was very significant because 617 MEPs voted in favour and only two against, which shows the strong support there is for everything to do with Brexit in terms of the Irish position and the EU position. And it's very important because it gives recognition now and puts into effect the Windsor framework, especially to easing trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland in relation to goods like steel, medicines, and also, of course, sanitary and phytosanitary goods such as seed potatoes, trees and shrubs. Mm-hmm. So it actually gets rid, essentially, of the barriers and would make trade much simpler and easier and more effective. And I think that's really what we want to see happening. So it's a very good development. It's now legal, and so that we can have easy flow of goods between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, mm-hmm, without attacking or in any way risking the single market.
And you're going to tell me these are not just technical issues, they're significant legal issues that affect trade and that ease trade between the two regions. But even if that were the case, and I accept that to be true, the real issue here for the DUP especially and for unionists in the North is the political ramifications of this. So you say it eases the obstacles to trade, but it doesn't entirely remove them. And it doesn't entirely remove the European Court of Justice jurisdiction over the region in the North, for example. And that is a political stain that they cannot wash away, the unionists.
Perhaps, but it essentially removes the big problem they had, and that was a border down the Irish Sea. There will be less checks now, or almost as you would have in any airport or port in the world, because there'll have to be a minimum number of checks to avoid smuggling, etc. And I think that in terms of the ECJ, when there was an election in Northern Ireland last time, that didn't even feature amongst the top seven or eight issues that people had. And I think that is largely a red herring which would rarely, if ever, apply. The big benefit here, which the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland now see, mm-hmm, is that they are in the single market of the European Union, free access to a 450 million market. Also, within the internal market of the UK, they have now basically free trade, as they always had, between GB and Northern Ireland. And the European Union has bent over backwards, I think, to ensure that this would take effect.
But
and
it seems that
Irish government and Rishi Sunak, since he became Prime Minister, mm-hmm, the change in atmosphere and approach has led to this.
Yeah, not even Rishi Sunak can reassure the DUP, it seems. They haven't given their indication that they'll return to Stormont yet. Not even Ursula von der Leyen or even Bill Clinton or even Sean Kelly can reassure the unionists. How long do you give the DUP to make their firm indication, yay or nay, about returning to Stormont, Sean?
I think after the local elections, really, they don't seem to have any real reason for not returning to Stormont, other than maybe political, that they wouldn't be happy if Sinn Féin had the First Minister. I think all the other issues have basically been resolved.
So what's the deadline?
The vast majority of people I've spoken to agree with that. We had some unionist politicians over here a few weeks ago when we were celebrating the Good Friday Agreement, and they're all now in a much more positive frame mm-hmm. of mind. And I think that the DUP really will have to take responsibilities and go into Stormont.
By
and
when?
We will work
by,
with them.
By when, Sean?
I think really by the summer. You know, we cannot drag on forever.
By the end of summer. Really, so come the 1st of September, if they're not in, what happens then?
Well, that's really a matter for the United Kingdom and I suppose the Irish government, and particularly the United Kingdom, to decide what they're going to do. Okay. But I think the vast majority of businesses, certainly, because surveys have been done on it, and the people generally want to see return to Stormont because that's really what's lacking. And we will do everything we can. I've called for a special envoy from the EU for Northern Ireland because they're in the single market. They do need direct access and communication with the European Union, and I hope that we could do that too.
Okay.
And also appoint somebody who would be acceptable to the unionist side as well. So we're going to do everything we can to make it happen.
Sean, I bet you're glad you're dealing with simple issues like the Windsor framework now and not the GAA Go controversy and issues like the GAA. You've been following it, I'm sure. RT's had a sport, Declan McBennett today on the News at One, basically said the station's hands were tied with regard to the Munster Senior Hurling Championship and the matches that caused great controversy that people didn't see on free-to-air television. He said that RTE had a contractual obligation to broadcast the provincial finals and the other matches then had to go to GAA Go, which is a pay-per-view service. What's your opinion on that?
Well, he's telling the truth. That is actually the official position. But what I have said from the outset, that was not a good idea by the GAA to go down that route and making those matches, some of them the best games maybe ever played, having them only behind the paywall wasn't sensible. Mm-hmm. And it's not RTE's fault. It's the GAA did the deal. And I remember 20 years ago, when I was president of the GAA, we started to ensure that we could have a broader approach in relation to the TV rights and the general rights for GAA games so that there would be some competition.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that in the last agreement with Sky. But now that has gone. And I think we have replaced it with probably something which is more disenfranchising for the members of the association who have given all their lives
who's
the association and are working on a voluntary basis.
Who's responsible for this? Because people and real GAA fans and volunteers who have grown the organisation and made the organisation happen at grassroots have been following this debate for the last number of days now, and we had former GAA President Liam O'Neill on this station today saying it was down to a scheduling issue. But you seem to be saying that the GAA Go pay-per-view service shouldn't be the way the GAA is going at all. Is that right?
The GAA Go is excellent, particularly for the diaspora. And I know I availed it myself when I was here in Brussels and couldn't get home for the All-Ireland during COVID. But I think you have to look at it from the point of view of the population generally. There are a few aspects here. Number one, ask them to pay for these games on a continuous basis, but also the whole digital divide which is there. Because we were doing a debate on the Digital Services Act here, and only 53% of people in the European Union mm-hmm. have little or very low digital skills.
Yeah.
So we are, I think, moving too quickly in that regard.
But what do you do then?
Expecting people to be able to digitally.
I accept that point and I understand that point. But what do you do? Because Declan McBennett today, RTE, saying you can't expect RTE to broadcast all of those great games that are available now because of new structures and so on. So you're to lose out if you don't go down the online route, unless you make GAA Go completely free, do you?
You make it available and you sell your rights to other broadcasters as well as RTE. And I think that is what we have to look at. Because when you have an opportunity to show the games and grow the games, and you're quite right, there are a massive amount of games at the moment. It would probably be virtually impossible, even if we had a number of broadcasters to show them all. But definitely, some of the ones that have been behind the paywall, everybody could see that there were going to be major games for the association, because the Munster Championship in particular is the shining light in the terms of competition right now. That's the Munster Hurling Championship.
Okay.
And that has been so the last couple of years.
So to paraphrase Ronald Reagan, you're saying Larry McCarthy knocked down that paywall.
I think what they should really do, and they mightn't agree with me, is when this championship is over, consult with the members and the clubs and county boards and see can they come up with a better system for next year.
Okay.
And a fairer system.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Sean Kelly, former GAA president and MEP for Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.